God's bow in a dark day. I do set my bow in the cloud. Genesis chapter 9 and verse 13. This chapter 9 in the book of Genesis begins a new era in human history. It was a new beginning. There was to be a new system of God's dealing with men. It was to be the establishment of government, which does not appear beforehand, and the committing of that government to the responsibility of man. Animal food was also to be introduced for man's sustenance instead of only herbs. This meant that man would now feed upon what was the result of death. Death was to yield food for man, which pointed to the death of Christ as the food for those delivered from judgment and who would live in him. The offering of sacrifice by Noah was the ground upon which God entered into a covenant with man. In this covenant, God committed himself to make a pledge so that it could never be annulled. God's promise not again to drown the world was given in covenant. The bow in the cloud was the sign of God's covenant. The bow is the same as we call a rainbow. It is called a bow because of its form being a semicircle, and a rainbow because seen in a dark, rainy day, and is a sign that the clouds will soon depart, as we see in Ezekiel chapter 1 and verse 28. It is called his bow, because made by him. Notwithstanding the natural causes of it, the cloud and the sun, the disposition of these to produce a bow is a phenomena of God alone. The rainbow in the cloud, then, was a sign of God's covenant. It is the most lovely of wonders in the natural world. It is set in the sky on a dark and stormy day. There probably was no such bow before the flood, though the natural causes were there before the flood. But there was no disposition in them before the flood to produce a bow. It seemed to be an entirely new thing, a wonderful thing, and the more fit to be a sign and token of God's covenant, that God would no more destroy the earth with water or cut off his creatures with a flood. The bow is turned upward to heaven and not downward toward the earth, and so is a token of God's love and mercy. Now notice first the message to Noah. Noah had witnessed the judgment of God on an ungodly world. In that judgment, a world had disappeared and was buried. The world that then was perished. God's long-suffering had given man ample time to repent, but time brought no change in man. The life of man became nothing more than the lengthened course of iniquity. When that cup was full, God's justice brought to an end all flesh, save those who were in the ark of refuge of God's design. The ark was an emblem of Christ, in whom alone safety is found. He alone can deliver sinners from the wrath of God against sin and provide an all-secure refuge. When the waters subsided, Noah and his family went forth from the ark. His first act was to build an altar and worship. Worship took precedence, but fallen man is prone to fear. These often linger on in the minds of those saved by the Lord, though there is no ground for such, and fear hath torment. What fears then might invade Noah's mind and heart? Would he not fear in the dark and cloudy day? Might he not fear another deluge, the gathering of dark clouds in the sky, or the fall of heavy rain, would easily provoke such fear. But God, in grace, not only provided salvation from judgment, but gave his promise that he would not again deluge the world in like catastrophe. To add to Noah's peace of mind, God added this remarkable and beautiful wonder, a bow in the cloud. And what a cheering and comforting wonder it must have been. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. The waters shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. Genesis 9:13-17, and Isaiah 54:9-10. Now we look at the truth in Christ. The promise of God to Noah was simply a pledge concerning the earth only. But it was a figure and was related to something much better in Christ. Our Lord is set in a higher heaven and appears to those souls who fear the wrath of God and enter into God's revealed grace in his beloved Son. When all is dark and foreboding, then lo, Christ appears in all his beauty. The cheering sight of him assures that God's judgment is past. The rainbow derives its being from light, and our Lord spoke of himself as the light of the world. John 8:12. Light is bright, and so is our Lord, as the brightness of the Father's glory. Hebrews 1:3. Light is lovely, and so is our Lord, being fairer than the children of men. Psalm 45:2. Light is all revealing, and so is our Lord. His glorious presence unmasked every dark and unlovely thing. What is light which shines in the many splendid bow? It is broken light. The charm and comfort of the Lord Jesus to believing souls lies in the fact that he was broken for us on Calvary's cross. From that cross, our Lord has risen as a bow of covenant grace. He is our assurance that God's wrath is past and will never sweep the redeemed to perdition. Thus, on the dark and cloudy day, when conscience would accuse, and fearful specters start up, or when perplexities puzzle, temptations assault, ridicule and persecutions afflict, lo, Christ our Lord appears as the bow in the cloud. He shines forth in the midst of burdens which oppress, and amidst life's trials and discouragements. How fair and beautiful he is. He is the wonder of God's infinite grace. Now hear the words of Mr. Gerhardt, words which were translated by John Wesley. Jesus, thy boundless love to me, no thought can reach, no tongue declare. O draw my thankful heart to thee, and reign without a rival there. Thy love, how cheering is its ray, all pain before its presence flies. Care, anguish, sorrow melt away, where'er its healing beams arise. Thy love in sufferings be my peace. Thy love in weakness make me strong. And when the storms of life shall cease, thy love in heaven shall be my song. Amen.